This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I'm reading it in!
We love America!
I like that laugh. Heaven.
What a surprise.
Dr.
Strange.
Damn it.
I'm peeking. Thought about killing myself.
Ugly shot. Disgusting.
Are you? Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Damn it.
Why?
His wife?
Yeah, people are gonna die.
Yeah, baby!
In Jesus' name, amen.
Grant Taylor, I just want you to know that you've made the team.
What team?
The daddy team.
We're gonna have a baby.
We're gonna have a baby.
I'm overwhelmed.
All right, welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline. That was a live record, me telling Nathan
yeah,
good news.
Which is nice, because, you know, you see these couples on social media now, sort of recording these big live stage events, and Caroline and Nate are kind of following in their footsteps. They haven't released it yet. They're kind of banking up for a first season that they're going to drop all in one.
Yeah.
So people can binge it, but that was the recording of
a little preview.
Caroline telling Nate, you made the daddy
you made
team.
The team.
You might.
The daddy the team.
The little daddy team. That was a clip from the movie we talked about last week, Facing the Giants, that just, you know, as the kids say, lives rent-free in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Do kids still say that?
Yeah.
Bridger, do kids still say that?
Kids absolutely do not say that
they
anymore.
Don't?
Kevin, there's no way.
Is that Chuggy?
That's say?
Oh. What?
Go back to Austin Powers. I think that's a safe space for you.
I was talking about my shag rug, and I was like, much like Austin Powers, I have no shag right now.
It's basically timeless now, so yeah, that's fine.
I think so. This is my argument for having multi-generational relationships. So you kind of know, you know, there's so much wisdom and benefit to knowing people of the older generation, and then for the younger generation to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta know.
We need some Gen Z friends.
And I don't know. I don't think that's appropriate for me.
Why? Why is it not appropriate?
Why would they be hanging out with me?
Not
only
like,
if we're like related.
Well,
yeah.
But what if you're like part of like a volleyball team together or something?
Okay.
You like volleyball?
Yeah, that could happen.
In a few months, you can ask your baby.
Yeah, I'll ask my baby.
There you go.
What's he gonna be? Is he like?
Hey, Elmo.
He's like Gen Alpha now.
Gen Alpha, maybe. Or is he going to be Gen Beta? Which is the one.
Gen Beta. I hope so.
Oh, gosh. What is technically that? I really
maybe
don't know.
Kev will have something to talk about.
Hey, from Beta to Beta. All right, let's chat. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music, the movies, and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church. Or to take you away from church. We're just here to have fun. We're just here to have fun. Shout out to one listener who approached me the other night at the movies and was so lovely to meet. I should say, though, the circumstance was the movie was Mamma Mia, and I went alone. And
so you were sweaty,
sweaty
and crying.
And dressed in overalls with a blouse on.
No wig?
No wig.
Not this time?
Yeah, I snatched my wig, as Gen Z said. No cap. Like, I wasn't wearing a baseball cap or anything.
Wow, congrats to that listener. That's a grade A Kevin sighting.
Where was the movie playing?
Oh, it was at Vidiot's over in Eagle
Oh,
Rock.
They were playing Mamma Mia?
They sure were.
Wow.
People were keyed up out of their minds.
Good for them.
And yeah, and I was too. What a nice time. But yeah, the ideal circumstances. Dressed in over, there's like, imagine a sweat ring on the back of overalls.
Just the back.
That was me. Oh yeah, not the front. Gracious. And speaking of sweat, we are talking about, you know, we're talking about sex today. We're talking about, you know, maybe
good stuff.
The hunt for the best abstinence anthem of all time. Mm-hmm. We have these two songs that we're pitting against each other. That maybe we've brushed up against, maybe we've kind of like, you know, grazed against.
Before.
Maybe we've gotten a little accidental whatever before with these songs. And now we're like going full in.
Going all the way.
We're going all the way with these songs.
Yeah.
To figure out which of these, I mean, we should talk about this. So the parameters, which do you think is the most effective as like a PSA, or which is the best song? We should figure that out. What's your instinct, though? What should it be?
My instinct is we could do multiple categories, mm-hmm. and they could win for various ones. I think that most effective, for sure, most erotic, and then maybe just, yeah, musically, which one makes you a down clown?
Most effective, most erotic, and then just musically, which one makes you down the clown? Which is adjacent to most erotic. But to do this, we're going to need the help of a very special guest, friends and folks, making his return after 3 long years. You may know him from his own podcast, I Said No Gifts. He's a high school graduate who graduated with a 3.8 GPA. Give it the hell up for Bridger Weiniger!
Kevin, I begged you not to reveal my GPA. How am I going to get a job?
Great GPA.
That's not a good college GPA.
Really?
I think you've got to get a 4.0 if you want to go to the big leagues.
Wait, when you graduated high school, not to dox your ass, when you graduated high school, you took the SATs?
ACTs.
You took ACTs? So no SATs?
No SATs in sight.
Oh, okay, because my question was going to be, did you take the one that added up to 1600 or the new one that added up to 2400?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 2400.
They did change it.
Get more points.
Right, just recently.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like just recently. I think it was like 20 years ago.
I think they also went back to 1600.
They did?
Oh, yeah. They can't decide.
That's when we need our young friend.
They're simply just numbers. They can pick any number they want.
Yeah. Hey, this November, we might be having another special someone going back to 1600, if you know what I mean.
82 years old.
What's that? Oh, I was talking about Trump.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he's
yeah.
not there, so he's going back.
Oh,
but yes, he'll be 82 years old. Yeah. Mr. Joe Biden will be. Man, any Joe news recently that we need to cover?
Yeah, what's going on with Joe?
What's going on? I haven't seen him. That's probably intentional.
He's stressed mm-hmm. about the war.
Which one?
He's kind of caught in it, you know. So we pray for his good sleep at night.
Oh yeah. Wait, which war is this? The one that Alyssa Sabo is about to start in Serbia.
What?
Our friend Alyssa just flew to Serbia this morning.
For what reason?
She's like shooting a commercial out there. This is real. Wow. And she's going to be there for 10 days. I feel like I'm going to log on Twitter one day and see a headline of like, LA comedian accidentally incites riot. It's going to be her face in the headline. Contingent.
What commercial is being shot in Serbia?
I don't know, but I would hope it's quite extravagant given
Wow, booking.com.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Or maybe it's that. Booking. Maybe it's some sort of travel thing. Yeah.
Interesting.
As a fellow Globetrotter myself, it is interesting when people have to travel for work rather than for leisure, as I
for discovery.
So for discovery. That's right. Hey, Bridger, thanks for coming back.
Thanks Welcome for having
back.
Me.
I can't believe it's been 3 years. It felt much more recent than
I've
that.
I've healed. I've healed.
Yeah, because you were kind of fucked up.
Oh, I was very fucked up.
Mm-hmm. October 2021, we talked about a song called What a Beautiful Name.
Oh, that's right.
What a beautiful name it
is. Wow.
We talked about David Archuleta's cover of it.
Where was David at that point as far as his...
His arc,
right. Was he still deep Mormon? I don't think he was.
Is he not Mormon no more? Did he reject the
faith? I think he remains in the faith.
Okay, remains in the faith, but has embraced his sexuality.
Well, I tell you what, here's one thing that is for sure. In 2023, Archuleta competed in the 9th season of The Masked Singer. As Macaw. Which I assume is some sort of bird.
Wow.
A big parrot or something. What did he sing?
What a perfect place for him to be.
Second place.
Damn.
Yeah, maybe that's not what you want. I was on The Masked Singer and I got second place. And
I'm a professional singer.
I won the better version job. Of the show.
Yeah.
So, and to be clear.
Yeah, didn't he win American Idol?
This is Macaw. Which is kind of
the Fruit Loops character.
Oh yeah, it's a little pecan
thing. Wait, Robin Thicke is the Masked Singer judge?
Yeah, I think that tracks, right?
Robin, it's I can't name a single other one of them. It's
a gal.
Anti-vax lady.
Oh, Jenny McCarthy.
Yes.
Oh, Jenny McCarthy?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Wow. I mean, The Masked Singer is so popular. I didn't realize like the most cursed judge panel of time.
Oh,
damn.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anyone better than those two.
Who won that season? What is winning?
Oh gosh.
What you is know, it like to win The Masked Singer?
We do need to figure that out. Who won The Masked Singer? It was Bishop Briggs. Do we know who Bishop Briggs is?
Culture is just passing me by.
Bishop Briggs is a British American singer-songwriter.
Sounds like a Mormon.
Yeah. It does, definitely. I mean, it sounds like you have that's a bishop in Mormonism. That's like the pastor.
Yeah.
Wait, this everything I'm about to read, these were all contestants on Masked Singer Season 9. David Archuleta, Lou Diamond Phillips, Melissa Joan Hart, who we've talked about on this show before, Alicia Witt, George Wendt, who you may know as Norm from Cheers.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Jason Sudeikis' uncle, Malin Ackerman.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Malin Ackerman?
Jason Sudeikis' uncle. What?
Yeah.
Huh? Who?
George Wendt is Jason Sudeikis'
his
uncle.
His actual
for real uncle.
Oh my God.
He's a Nepo
what?
Nephew.
A Nepo nephew. What?
I don't even know what that relationship means for anyone. That's... I cannot put that together in my head. That's crazy.
Malin Ackerman, Michael Bolton, Grandmaster Flash, Howie Mandel, Sarah Evans, and Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke?
Dick Van Dyke is a solid 99 years old.
Yeah, are you serious? They put that man in a heavy costume?
He was out in episode one, is what it looks like.
I think couldn't even
due to
put him
exhaustion.
Past episode. He probably was like, I got one for you. Wait, what was his costume?
Okay, God Dick Van Dyke is the gnome. He's the gnome, everybody. Okay, so we're watching Dick Van Dyke.
People screaming, take it off to Dick Van Dyke.
Dressed as a gnome.
Is that Nicole Scherzinger?
I think it might be.
Scherzinger? This is so fucked up.
What?
This is
Jenny McCarthy.
The future we were dreaming of when we were locked up for COVID.
Oh, that's a full, like, it's a mummy. I mean, that's like a mummy's sarcophagus.
Wait, people are screaming. It is a sarcophagus. They crack like, that open. Oh, and everyone's like, oh.
He's a legend.
He is.
Ken Jeong
I mean,
is
incredible.
Standing on the desk.
I mean, I would be.
What the hell?
I mean,
Dick Van Dyke thinks he's in like a dream right now.
Can I reveal something about Dick Van Dyke?
Oh, of course. Please.
I've been to his house.
Okay.
And
excuse
I
me.
Adopted two of his kittens.
Is that true?
Kevin
That's absolutely
his drink
true. That's
he
an actual
freaking
thing.
Out.
That...
I spilled like... drink on the cookies I was going to
give to you, Bridger.
Wait.
Throw them out.
Tell this story as I get
Please
paper
Please tell
towels.
This story.
I guess it was 2014, 2015. My boyfriend kind
Those
of knew Dick's wife. What's her? Arlene Silver.
Dick Van Wife.
She had rescued a batch of kittens and they were living in Dick's back house and she was looking for, people to adopt them. And my boyfriend Jim saw this on Facebook and he knew I was looking for cats at the time. Oh, Dexter. Dexter is furious about this situation.
Wait, so she just posted that on Facebook Marketplace?
I guess she
come to Dick Van Dyke's house?
She posted it to her personal page. I think...
Oh.
I should know better how this all worked out because it's my life. But my boyfriend knew her. I think he met her at a wedding or something at some point, and they had kind of connected as people do on or did on Facebook.
Yes.
Dexter is now taking my headphones off. He's
he's like,
this is not what
this interview
to be
is
told.
Over.
Furious.
too much, bro.
She posted it to her Facebook, and Jim said, let's go out to wherever they lived, and I went and adopted these two kittens. I no longer own them because there was this whole me moving back and forth from New York and LA. They were adopted by a family who has a teen YouTube magician for a son. So I know they're in a good home.
Obvious. That goes without saying. That's obvious.
You do not let
telling.
Anyone adopt your cats unless they have a YouTube magician in the family.
So a humanitarian is taking care of them.
Yes.
A humanitarian. Wow.
But they were very sweet little kittens.
What were the names? What were the names?
Mark and Dan.
Okay.
Very sweet little guys.
So did you get to go into Dick Van Dyke's main home? Or
only the guest
the
house.
House.
We passed the pool. Damn. We went into the back house. And Yeah, I think this woman, Arlene, is just very much an animal person.
Yeah.
Kind of like a friend to all creatures, raccoons, possums, mm-hmm. everything.
Uh-oh.
Wait, what's an uh-oh?
Raccoons and possums?
She, you know, she's kind of a Snow White type.
She's feeding them out there?
That's beautiful.
I think she might be feeding them.
Uh-oh. Arlene, you cannot be bringing possums around American treasure.
Do y'all and not
Dick Van Dyke? That's it for him.
He's going to think it's like supper or something and get confused. Or
no,
you're saying
they're going to get bit. You know, and then he'll never make it to the stage of the Masked Singer for a standing applause.
Not to beat an old horse about anything. Do y'all think a 46-year age gap is problematic between two partners?
Kevin, you do whatever you want. You know?
Hey, no, it's not, I'm not asking about me. That would mean
if it's legal,
that the person is negative 16 right now. That would be messed up.
Yeah.
Or no, negative 12.
Yeah,
I think
40? 30?
You know, adults are adults are adults. We're doing the Masked Singer. We're feeding possums. We're getting married.
We're just trying to get by.
We're
in this
just
life.
Trying to get by.
Yeah, and Mark and Daniel are currently living in a top hat.
I don't know, but when a 90-year-old preys upon a 51-year-old, that's a power dynamic. They're not adults yet. Oh, wow. Well, good for them.
But yeah, that's the Dick Van Dyke
so
connection
cool.
for me.
Did you see him in real life one time?
Yeah, I was
going
to say, like, I thought I had a cool Dick Van Dyke story, but mine is like
Where'd you
so
see him?
Much lamer. I saw him at a billionaire's holiday party.
What?
So my friend, the owner of her company, throws this incredible holiday party every year. And every other year, it's literally at his house up in Malibu. And not only does he invite all his employees, he invites all of his like celebrity friends to come and be there.
Including Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan. Oh. Caitlyn Jenner. And then Dick Van Dyke.
And how did this person become
Motley
a billionaire?
I think because of the company. Yeah, it's
Wait,
a
and
massive
what's the company?
One. It's Paul Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. Wow, hair care galore.
Hair care king.
Mm-hmm. King. Wow, to get to a billion with hair care.
I know, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah. And well, he started it with this with the other guy. The other guy sadly passed, so maybe he absorbed all the wealth of that guy
okay.
too.
Okay, interesting.
Anyway, so I saw Dick Van Dyke there. He has a little entourage.
Was he dancing? Was he doing a little tippity tap?
He looked upset, honestly.
He did.
Like kind of looking around like, I don't know, just old man frowning maybe. Maybe mm-hmm. he wasn't upset. That's just kind of how they look.
It might have been resting old face.
It may have. Oh, interesting.
Might have been.
Interesting.
But I was shocked to, you know, see him out and about.
Of course.
That's nowhere near being in his guest home.
But I didn't get to see him.
Oh.
I never only interact. Well, you know, I can kind of, maybe we create our own memories. I can just place him in that memory.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you can kind of feel him.
Maybe I saw him out of the corner of my eye.
Shaking
Next
a
time
possum
you come
off
on
his
the
arm.
This is not super califragilisticexpialidocious. He like fights for his life from a feral animal. That'd be sick. Wow.
I'm like, the fact that like Dick Van Dyke has lived long enough that Robin Thicke is like yelling like, you know, in his face at this like horrible studio show.
That is something about
I
icons
die before that.
Of a certain era where it's like they shouldn't overlap with the rot of 21st century culture now.
Right.
Keep them
it's so far
safe.
Removed from what they lived through. The
yeah.
golden age and everything was just incredible. And now uh-huh. it's like you're truly in a ditch.
Like Liza Minnelli shouldn't be, you know, she shouldn't know what's going on TikTok.
No.
She probably
no.
doesn't. But, you know, even seeing her alive during this timeline, it's like, this is wrong. Not
right.
that I wish for her passing.
I hope that she's kind of cocooned in another time. Well, is, okay, we were talking about how they love to trot out an old one at the Oscars, which I think is a perfect place for them. To
announce Best Picture.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is the most important job of the
how
night.
How could I forget?
Because it was Liza for, Coda. I think it was Coda.
Coda. Have they brought Dick Van Dyke out for the Oscars?
Interesting. I don't think so.
Not recently.
The man is happy to get on stage.
Yeah, and just go out.
Yeah, get him out there.
He would do it.
A total
There's
legend.
Always tomorrow.
Wait. Yeah, maybe he never won an Oscar, though. So
oh, that's
is,
kind of a
is he
rough
just qualified?
Feeling to
yeah.
walk out on that stage having not won anything.
Wait, did Liza win an Oscar?
I'm assuming so.
I don't know if she did.
Did she get a lifetime achievement?
Oh, one of those fake Oscars.
But then maybe he should be getting a lifetime achievement.
Okay, so we need to get him the fake Oscar this year. Yes. So that next year, Lord willing, knock on wood.
Lord willing.
He's here.
What was that game we were playing, Caroline, where we were like, did this person know about this thing before they passed away? Because there was something going around of like, Empire Strikes Back came out in summer of 1980.
Like Empire Came Back. Just
Luke, Empire Came Back. Oh, fuck. No, but Empire Strikes Back comes out summer of 1980. John Lennon dies in December of 1980.
Oh.
Did John Lennon die with or without knowing Yoda?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
One of those.
I think we were talking about Benjamin Button.
Oh, yeah. Looking up who died in 2009.
Who got to feel the wave that hit America that was button fever.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, everyone had button fever.
Wow. I mean, to imagine like what is, yeah, is Yoda in John Lennon's brain as he's dying?
For sure.
Maybe the last thing he says.
Right. He could have been thinking, maybe Yoda. He just saw the trailer or
could
something.
Could have been his usher,
that green little
side.
Guy.
Yeah.
What if it was his rosebud?
Yeah.
His Yoda.
Sometimes, you know, people as they pass, they see someone who has died or even an alive family member who's like carries them, you know, to the
or
other side.
Or a Muppet.
Well, Kevin's case, it will be a Muppet.
It's going to be a furry little arm, a fuzzy hand extending me into that white light. I'll be like, thank you, Garfield Elmo.
What would be the worst Muppet for you to see that takes you to the other side?
Janice. I don't trust her.
No,
I don't know enough
Janice.
About her. She's fine, but I don't feel connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the little shrimp guy? There's a like a
Pepe?
Prong. Oh, yes. Pepe.
Pepe yeah. would be...
That'd be alarming.
Yeah. He's too manic.
Yeah, exactly.
And Kevin, who did not die, or he'd be like, who did die? That would be mine. Yeah, I think so.
Yoda could be one for John Legend.
For John Legend?
Legend, interesting.
John Lennon.
Whoa.
He's kind of, in heaven, he's in charge of the John L's. Yoda, we've got another.
We've got another one. This guy definitely knows who you are this time.
Like, does it make sense that Paul McCartney knows what SpongeBob SquarePants is? Like, does that feel right?
That makes sense to me. That tracks for some reason.
Yeah.
Because he's a little SpongeBob-y himself.
Yeah, he does have kind of a squareness.
Oh, wow.
I feel like he also had a kid late in life, right?
Right.
Who would be a SpongeBob consumer.
He probably had a wife who watched SpongeBob. Because his wife was like...
Yeah.
How old was she?
Right in the strike zone.
She may have been a SpongeBob fan. I think we can just
get a
assume.
Millennial wife.
Okay, so George Harrison died in 2001, I want to say.
Right.
So
what month?
Yeah, what month?
Okay, this is a good question. I'm glad. Maybe it was December of, you know, as a tribute to his buddy. He died, in November of 2001.
Oh, wow.
So 9/11 happened.
Oh.
Two months later, George is like, I'm out. And
he's like, I hope this gets better.
He leaves this mortal coil. Did George Harrison die knowing what Zoolander was?
Ooh.
Did George Harrison know?
How old was he?
Blue Steel. He was young. He was 58.
I bet he went with, what's his son's name? Danny?
His son's name is Danny
like
Harrison.
Twin.
Yeah.
I bet Danny took him to Zoolander.
They had a good relationship at the time.
Exactly.
He said, Dad, listen, 9/11 happened. Anything could happen any day now. We need to spend as much time together as we can.
Gotta support the movie.
We have to go to Zoolander.
Let's go to Zoolander.
Oh, that looked the blue
Everybody's
steel.
So glad he did.
Wow. Wow. Well, more that we can speculate on. I wonder if George Harrison died knowing who DC Talk was. Or Rebecca St. James. God.
Who didn't?
Everyone.
Isn't that interesting as a segue?
Universal.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with
on
more
everyone's lips.
Good Christian fun. But not those lips. Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for the hunt for the best abstinence anthem of all time.
I'm horny.
We've picked two songs. We've picked two songs today. One song called I Don't Want It by DC Talk And another song called Wait For Me by Rebecca St. James. Now, Bridger, when we were talking about maybe what to do on the show, I said, hey, Sophie's Choice, Christian movie or Christian music? What was appealing to you about Christian music more so than doing a Christian movie?
I mean, it's hard for me to watch a real movie.
The time.
To sit down with a Christian movie would have died in front of the TV.
Oh, no.
I mean, getting me to watch a full regular movie at this point is nearly impossible.
Do you not like to watch at home anymore?
Once I've done it, I love it, but getting into it and like preparing myself physically and mentally is nearly impossible. I have to trap myself in a movie theater.
I feel more and more like this because there's more and more time that's being added to the runtime of a movie at home.
Oh, yeah.
So if it's a two-hour movie, it's taken me about 2.5 hours to watch.
5 hours.
5 hours for you?
I'll start at 7 Easy. O'clock and 12 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, oh, the movie's over and I barely remember anything that happened.
What's your ETA, Caroline, when you fire one up?
I mean...
The length of the movie plus how much time?
Days. I mean, sometimes it does span days. I'm thinking of one because we just watched Lord of the Rings, the first. But we watched the extended version, which I've never seen before. So maybe this isn't fair. Because I just read the book for the first time and I was like, let's go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen the extended version. So yeah, that was a multi-night affair. I think it was 3 days.
Because how long is the extended version? Almost 4 hours?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Incredible.
Right.
It's at least 340, I think, right?
Mm.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I don't know.
You don't Couldn't know because it was 5 days.
Yeah, it was, for me,
I think it's five it days
an eternity.
Long.
But it was so worth it. Really rocked. Still no Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, they couldn't make room even in 340.
Are you believe that? You're a Tom Bombadil, not truther, I guess, because he does exist, but a defender.
He exists. I'm mm-hmm. not a defender. I think it was a good idea to cut Tom Bombadil out.
You don't
want to
hear songs in your fantasy up?
Even as I was reading it, I was like, we're still with Tom Bombadil? Like, I feel like I've been here for 10 years. It was crazy. They're with him for so long before anything even happens. And it doesn't matter.
But just let him pass through the background on the sleigh.
Yeah, like have him do a little like...
Yeah, you hear some singing in the background. Yeah.
Bouncing
could go for that.
Around.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm the Tom Bombadil of my friend group. Like, yeah, it's like, I guess. He's sure singing a lot.
We could cut him even in the extended.
We're still with him? We gotta go home.
I think Tom Bombadil would have been a great kids show. Oh, like if you're gonna do a kids Lord of the Rings show, like... Let's go full Tom.
Bombadil is a new category of person, I think. I think you've just invented
Bombadil.
That.
Oh, yeah, Bridger. He was going a little Bombadil the other night, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah,
I think you found something. Gen Z, are you listening?
Gen Z.
Fresh stuff for you here.
Is there a Bombadil in the group that's being chuggy?
And your friends being Bombadil?
Oh, I look forward to hearing. I bet we have Gen Z listeners. And if you are a Gen Z listener, I almost said DM me, but I shouldn't say that.
Speaking
DM
of 45-year age gaps.
Email us at our email account.
You're going to ask them to email? Are you kidding me?
What should I ask? Where are they?
I was genuinely like, we don't even have a TikTok, so they couldn't even like sound off in the comments. There's no way they're getting on Instagram.
I think they might get on Instagram.
That's like tragic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If the Gen Zs, if they're listening to us and they're only on Instagram, I don't want them listening to us.
You losers.
You guys suck.
Get with the program. If you're IG only Gen Z. Wow.
What you want is a Facebook marketplace Gen Z.
Yeah,
who only is on Facebook for the market.
Buying and selling furniture.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Depop's a crazy person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are cool.
We're going to hear, I hung out with some friends of mine the other night who are a couple who've been married for 16 years that met on MySpace.
Ooh.
And we attended the movie premiere of a friend of ours who met his wife on Friendster.
Okay, I don't know where Friendster falls in the timeline.
Neither do I.
Yeah, what even is Friendster?
It was like mid-aughts or early aughts.
Was it pre-MySpace?
It was post 9/11.
Okay, perfect. That's all I need to know. Was George Harrison aware
George Harrison
of
did not know
he
was
not
all
friends. It was impossible for him
I
to make
friends.
It was his
George
idea.
Harrison's live journal.
This is unfortunate. So, you know, abstinence is an issue for all three of us. I think it's really near and dear to our hearts.
It is.
Caroline recently gave in to temptation, hence the baby.
Unfortunately.
No hiding it now.
Ended my streak. My perfect streak.
So, yeah, you had a streak. There was an app you were tracking it on. Yeah, it's like, congrats, like, another day. Another dry day in the house.
Not today, Satan.
Bridger, so as we talked about last time you were on the show, you have not a evangelical Protestant culture upbringing per se, but more of the Mormon tradition.
Yes.
In Utah.
Yes.
And so how much was abstinence and purity culture emphasized in your upbringing?
It was, I don't even know that it was emphasized as much as it was just, this is the thing.
A given.
This is
it,
like
the oxygen you breathe.
Yeah, exactly. And I still breathe this day.
H2NO.
Yeah, it felt like there was very little like advertising about abstinence. The one thing I remember, I mean, it was definitely part of the culture, because I remember in 10th grade, like in sex ed class, our teacher, who was obviously Mormon, was like, just don't have sex. Wait till you're married, and then you can have as much sex as you want. That was like the,
okay,
how you had safe sex was waiting till you got married. And okay. And then we just didn't learn anything else, which is like, okay, so now we're just on our own. Mm-hmm. And then fortunately for me, it was very easy to practice abstinence because I simply had no words to describe what my sexuality was and was not going to be approaching anyone for sex for decades.
So that kind of aligned with where you were at. So you're like, sounds good.
Oh, I'm a student.
Yeah.
Why is everybody else having a problem with
this? 4.0
on, yeah, that's
one.
How you got that GPA.
I saw a TikTok of a woman who grew up in the evangelical church and she was lesbian. She was like, I just thought I was like really good at being a Christian.
So easy.
Yeah, like this was not hard for me.
I am on my way to heaven. You guys suck
tempted
at this. Yeah, but like as far as like literature or anything, I think once a year you met with your bishop, who's kind of your pastor, the pastor within the Mormonism, and he would ask you, have you had sex? Do you masturbate? Like they really get into it, which is such a bizarre conversation to be having with an adult who is not your parent. But everybody kind of, it was just like, you don't do it. And then you tell the bishop you
then
haven't done it.
We talk to the bishop.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you get married at 19. Not too long to wait. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing.
That's what I think works well with abstinence in Mormon culture and lots of evangelical cultures. Like, it's not that long. Like, you can hold
that. That is the right thing. Because you meet in the middle. Because from the outside, getting married so young feels so rash. And so, you don't want to do that yet. But then when you consider that, mm-hmm, it makes all the sense in the world.
Been waiting many lifetimes.
Well, you're talking about, yeah. In this and the next.
Right.
Good Lord. Yeah.
But I do feel like Mormonism does have like a built-in horniness just because of its history of polygamy, where it's just like sex really is like was a part of the thing where it's like you're trying to make as many children as you can. So mm-hmm, that, I feel like that was on the mind of men.
Mm-hmm.
Just because how are you not going to be thinking about that?
And when was the polygamy era kind of over?
That's a good
faith
question. I think officially it was like the government was like, if you don't stop this, we're going to blow you away. So
down.
Please stop doing it. So they're like, we're not doing it anymore. But then I think it did continue for a couple of decades. I think at the end of the 19th century, they said we're done. But then higher ups continued practicing it probably for another couple decades.
Quietly.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of doing that. Yeah. Just the higher ups.
I imagine. And then probably a bunch of loonies.
Right. You know, quitting.
Had their own land.
Right. And then, of course, there was like the splitting off, which now we have fundamentalist Mormons
that are
running all of their different communities.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the thing with the fundamentalist Mormons?
Fundamentalist Mormons, the reason they exist is because they wanted to continue practicing polygamy after the mainstream Mormon church was like, they didn't say, oh, we don't do that anymore. They said, oh, God told us not to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Although conveniently lined up with the government being like, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, the will of God.
God's timing is always right.
God's plan.
When
that's
the
God's
feds
plan
show up. That's right. When God says, I'm going to step in here.
And so they a bunch of them were offshoots at that point.
Okay.
They're like, no, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to move into even more remote deserts. We're going to move to Mexico. And we're going to move to Canada and have these communities.
Mexico, Mormons.
Which is, and the idea of that is to be out of reach of, genuinely, is it to be out of reach of like local authorities?
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
It's still illegal.
Huh?
To do it.
All right, Caroline sounds like a freaking cop.
I know.
It's actually illegal, guys.
I know. She's trying to have a party
Damn
here.
Mom yeah, over
we're,
here.
We're trying to be cool, bro. You're kind of harsh.
I'm sorry, guys. There's that show. There's like a reality show you've heard of.
Big Love, starring yeah, Bill Paxton.
No, no, no. There's Sister like Wives. The real version of it. Yeah, Sister Wives.
Oh. Wonderful show.
They're like the fundamentalist Mormons.
Okay. I mean, that show there. Recently, I mean, it's like 20 seasons in and it recently became incredible because the marriage fell apart. Every one of the
That's
women divorced
right.
the husband.
I
so
heard
is it
about
just
this,
following them doing their own thing?
Insane.
He's sort of. I mean, I think he kind of lost his mind during COVID. And that was the other cool thing because like during COVID, he was so paranoid about getting COVID that he wouldn't allow any of the production near him. So they really did start filming themselves. And so kind of the reality show element, like the really produced part fell away and you're
oh
like seeing them film themselves and his marriage is crumbling.
Whoa.
And they like they got more raw than if there
yeah.
had been a crew there.
Right.
I heard about this, but I don't think I really like understood
it's wonderful.
The gravity of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big deal. They mm-hmm. divorced.
Divorced. Oh yeah.
Which and is like three times as painful because of
Oh yeah, over and over and over. But also only one of those marriages was actually like a legal marriage.
Binding.
So it's
right.
kind of like, oh, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah,
okay.
we're just like moving out.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't
but
think
he
anyone
was
has
like
to get
a crazy
involved.
Kind of abusive guy. I mean, it's a good thing everyone's gone.
He's a wacko.
Yeah.
The family's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's any surprise. They're very dull and have nothing interesting.
They're all normal. It's really just him. Anyway, wow.
Yeah.
So, Caroline, because we've talked about these songs a little bit before, which do you think would be most interesting to lead with? Our three sad boys or our one chipper Australian girl?
Let's start with the decent Christian talk.
Okay.
And
that really is what the DC stands
wow.
for.
They'll bring the energy, I think.
DC yeah. Talk.
The
was...
catching up my brain has had to do both times with DC Talk. The first time you mentioned it, I was like, oh, this was somebody on Dancing or Masked Singer. I can't, maybe there's someone
oh,
named DC Talk. And I was like, oh.
They wish they were like eliminated
that
round four on Masked Singer. Michael Tate would love nothing more than for Robin Thicke to be like, no.
By Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah. By Jenny McCarthy in particular.
And now Decent Christian Talk
yeah.
is the... coolest name I've ever heard.
It's cool. I'm hearing apocryphal stories that it was because they were from the DC area.
No.
I think one of our listeners commented that. No. That's like, it's not the official story, but it's like kind of what was true.
Well, yeah. And this is kind of what's great about a band with such lore is that the story right. changes.
The
oh, it's rich.
It unearths.
But the on the books interpretation of it.
The official word.
Is that it's Decent Christian Talk. Three yeah. boys that met at Liberty University 30 plus years ago, you know, under the banner of freedom and liberty there, formed a rap rock trio, starting more in the hip hop tradition,
mm-hmm.
but then as time goes on, blending in more pop sensibilities, a smash album and song called Jesus Freak in 1996. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak?
Oh boy.
And on this is their album Free at Last, which comes out in 1992, a brief 32 years ago. And there's a lot of different kinds of songs about, like, you know, that kind of girl is a song on the album describing, you know, the kind of woman that they're looking mm-hmm. for, that they're mm-hmm. all looking for, as far as like she has to be honorable. She can't be a fucking slut, they say in the song. Mm-hmm. And they have a song called I Don't Want It. And I think it was a response to the George Michael song around the same time.
Oh, wow.
I Want Your Sex.
I love a response song.
Isn't that funny?
I feel like that's an actual category of music that's like it's like a response song.
Yeah,
or it's
what
like,
do they call those?
That,
well, I think Gen Z calls it a clapback.
We all knew right? that. You didn't have to say
Kevin.
It.
DM me if that's true.
But there is like an actual category of songs when someone will write a song and it'll become a hit, and then someone will write basically like the sequel or
yeah,
flatback.
Like when KJ52 wrote Dear Slim to
exactly.
Eminem.
That's what I was.
Oh, there
the
we go.
Famous one.
There
I think.
KJ52 is a Christian rapper
oh, fuck.
Who kind of objected to the things Eminem was saying in some of his work. What's the best example? I know you're right, but what's the best example of a song
Ooh,
like that?
I feel like...
Is Carly Simon's You're So Vain technically that? Or that's not a response to a specific song?
Right, that's a response to a certain person's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
That's just accountability.
Yeah, she's holding someone accountable. I feel like, I'm sure there was like Sherelle's song that ended up getting a, you know, I feel like it, that feels like the time period when that sort of thing would happen. But I could be completely wrong.
Well, you know,
I don't even know the term.
I'm looking here. Six songs that were written in response to other famous songs.
Okay,
here we go. Listicle. California Girls by Katy Perry, Christian artist formerly, and Empire State of Mind.
What?
By Jay-Z and Alicia Keys.
Those are responses to each other?
Because it's LA versus
no,
New York.
No,
Katy Perry
that's just simply
wishes.
Not true. That's not true.
In line, the following year, Katy Perry set out to release the antithesis to that song. So New York State of Mind comes out first, then it's California Girls?
And New York State of Mind was a response to the Beach Boys' California Girls.
Right.
They said,
I love New York girls. This is what Katy Perry said at the time. I think they're hot and I think they have a lot of attitude, but I'm telling you, when it comes wintertime, they're all going to be singing California.
I don't think Empire State of Mind either is like, this is a song about the New York girls and how they're better than everybody else. I like, it's just about the city in general. Okay, whatever.
Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division. Love Will Keep Us Together.
Okay.
By that's... Captain and Tennille.
Okay, that's close. I mean, at least it feels like a... Oh, Dexter.
Oh, what a good protective little soldier, you little dick.
This one's real.
God Bless America by Irving Berlin.
Okay.
And This Land Is Your Land by Woody Guthrie.
Okay, that's an actual
that feels
response.
True.
Okay.
Yes.
Paper Doll by John Mayer and Dear John by Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Those are probably...
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't know either song. I don't know what their relationship is, so now just giving a confident no.
Again, Gen Z is going to be blowing up the comments on our Facebook Marketplace page.
I do not want this lamp.
All right, so let's take a quick listen to at least part of a song called I Don't Want It. Back up off with lesser, that's just impressive. Brother with a life of virtue. The innocence is spent, it's gonna hurt you. Safe is the way they say to play. Then again, safe ain't safe at all today. And just imagining George Michael putting his hat in his hands and saying, I'm ruined. I'm ruined.
They got me.
Time for us to see the truth. That love is simply more fulfilling than the need for sex. Respect is what we need to find the cure for this disease.
The disease is that's a rough word.
This is what Dick Van Dyke sang on the mess. Season 9, by the way. Oh. And I'm just realizing at the beginning of verse 2, there's another response to another song.
Oh, what?
Yeah, right leader, I don't think I copied that. Did you say you don't want sex for now?
Takes two to make a thing go right.
Interesting, interesting. They are trying to get some attention. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say about both of the songs, they both made me want to have sex.
Well,
I left both of these just, I've got to have sex.
Yeah.
They're going to be so upset
so
to hear that.
I think we should discuss which one made us want to have sex less.
Yeah.
I mean, this instrumentally, arrangement-wise, and when you got Tate and Max on the vocals, it's hard to not be
the moon.
Of course.
Oh my God.
They did not know what they were doing.
It sounds like they're genuinely like about to go in for a kiss and they're like whispering like, hey.
It is like a genuinely like horny sounding
it's
piece
negative.
Of music.
It's absolutely negative.
It is. Or maybe that's part of it too. It's like, listen, obviously I'm a sexual man. You know, like, they don't want that to be under dispute. Like, they could have written a song that didn't sound sexy.
It's like, hello there.
Yeah, and everyone would have been like, these are clowns, these are Wiggles, I'm never going to marry them and bone them on our wedding night. And they were like, no, 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 no.
By the way,
let's set the record straight.
God save your soul if someone describes you as, these are Wiggles. These are clowns, these
the are Wiggles, Wiggles. Like, they're probably still, like, trying to till the field, if you know what
oh,
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God. How do you come back from that?
I mean, they don't wear the sweaters all the time, Caroline.
You don't know that.
Well, I don't know that, I guess.
You don't know that. And, like, the reputation, their internet footprint, like, I don't know.
It's, like, worse than having problematic tweets from 2011 or something. It's like, yeah, here's this show where I dance my little butt around in my bright teal sweatshirt.
Yes, I'm a Wiggle, but I'm also a man.
I'm not just one thing, babe.
Oh, man.
I don't want it. So this is very much, like, expressed, maybe as opposed to the other song, in the negative. Here's something, and I don't want it. Like,
for now.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, there is an asterisk for it. It's like, for now, until we take the vows. So that is condition that it's set under. SEX is a test when I'm pressed, so back up off with less of that zest and press this brother with the life of virtue. That innocence that's spent is going to hurt you.
Oh.
Safe is the way they say to play. Then again, safe ain't safe at all today. So it's like, you can wear a condom, but you might still get something.
Still.
Yeah, that's a very missionaries going to a country and saying, don't use condoms sort of situation.
Little bit.
It's like a very anti, it creates issues when you say safe sex is not safe.
Yeah.
Is that what that Anne Hathaway Mormon missionary movie is about?
I forgot she's in a Mormon movie.
She sure is.
Yes.
Anne Hathaway was in a movie in like 2002 called The Other Side of Heaven.
Wow.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. It's like a pro-Mormon, Mormon
I think she's like a Mormon,
movie.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
Yeah, The Other Side of Heaven.
Uncovering memories.
Uh-huh. It showcases John Groberg's autobiography. So it's an adaptation of that. Is that a figure in the church?
I never heard of him. Sorry, John.
In the Tongan Islands. So okay. it is real life IP, historical fiction. Came out in 2001.
And what's Anne Hathaway doing there?
I bet she's playing the
wife. Washed ashore or something?
Jean Sabin. Yeah, she's washed ashore as a little temptation for her.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so I think we're all feeling pretty like, okay, a little keyed up.
Oh,
after listening.
That's putting up mildly.
It's hard. And what's fun about DC Talk, and they do continually do this, is that other songwriters and other artists and singers, they might be pretty broad or like a little more like, painterly and broad brushstrokes about like what I do or don't want. They're very specific. They're very like, until this happens.
Spell it out.
Yeah. They literally spell out for SEX. Respect is what we need to find the cure of this disease of lust. Which when I heard it, I thought they were saying lust. This disease of love. Which I'm like, that's not a disease.
Mm-hmm.
Disease of lust.
The bridge is 1-900-LOVE. SEX is on the TV. Too much skin in your vision. You got to make the right decision. God has set his standard higher. Purity is his desire. I'm going to choose to wait. So, yeah.
Now, can I ask, like,
please,
what do you think it's obviously a piece of music that's supposed to be danced to. And it suggests a certain type of sexual dancing, but obviously they don't want that. What do you think they wanted their listeners doing?
Cupid shuffle.
What is the Cupid shuffle?
You know the Cupid Shuffle?
I need to see the Cupid Shuffle.
Caroline, do you want to show him real quick?
Oh my God. It's like a white person wedding dance.
Yeah.
You know,
to the
group
right,
dance.
To the right, to the right.
I imagine, okay, here's in my head this scenario is you're a young, lively boy, let's say. Okay. Since these are DC Talk, there's boys to boys. They're like, hey, let's level with you guys. We've been there. Yeah. We understand.
Me and Bridger are having flashbacks right now to that time in our lives.
And you're at like a dance, and that's where everyone is grinding because the early 2000s and late 90s is what we do.
Grind, grind, grind.
Grinding, grinding. And you're like, what's a boy to do in this kind of scenario?
Yeah,
I have almost no defenses. Almost. Lucky for me, I brought my Walkman.
iPod.
or iPad. Walkman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you put on your own headphones and you, so you're still dancing, but for you, the message is so pure and so good that you're like,
I've never thought of that as a way to battle temptation. It's like doing, you know, silent discos where they put on the headphones.
Right.
Doing a silent disco of one.
Yeah.
Just kind of isolate yourself socially.
Go to the club. But then when you're in the club, go to your own club within the club.
Wholesome. Yes.
Nothing will shut down sexual opportunities like that.
Right. Wow. I don't
want
it.
And then people will be like, what's your deal? You know, and can I listen?
What's wrong with you?
There's something a little bit different. It's, and imagine that Garden State scene where she's like, listen to this. It'll change your life. And it's... And it's... And everyone's like, wow. Okay.
Is this? Yeah, that's the kind of scenario.
Wowie zowie. Okay, so that
or, you know, kind of like a, it's like a pump up jam if you know you're about to walk into a situation where things are
could get wet.
Yeah, pump down jam. Maybe. Like, we want to de-escalate the pump. Which, speaking of de-escalating the pump, that brings us to Rebecca St. James.
Rebecca.
The Australian wonder.
Becky.
Coming to us from the great continent of Australia. She had put out a bunch of albums in the 1990s. A lot of them, when you listen to them, are Alanis Morissette sounding.
Okay.
Very much of that, a little harder edge, harder rock. She's since transitioned, as they all have, into more praise and worship stuff. But in 2000, at the turn of the century, she had sort of like more... you know, electronic pop influences.
And was it secular or was it also religious?
This is all religious. Okay. She never strayed away.
Straight from the, okay.
She never got away.
They're putting a movie out about her family.
About Becky's family?
To see
about
the theater.
Old Becky St. James? Family. Yeah. It's called like The Higher One or something like that.
coming soon to GCF.
This is coming soon to GCF. And I believe... this is no longer, but it's in one of her top stream songs. This is Wait For Me by Rebecca St. James.
Darling, did you know that I had a dream about you? Waiting for the look in your eyes.
Man,
sweating.
When we meet for the first time. Darling, did you know that I pray about you? Praying that you will hold on. I keep your loving eyes only for me. Cause I am waiting for, praying for you, darling. Wait for me too. Wait for me as I wait for you. Cause I am waiting for, praying for you, darling. Wait for me.
I just feel like there's no metaphor, there's nothing. It is just literally wait to have sex with me. The song should just be called Wait to Have Sex With Me. We know exactly what's going on. Why
well, that would
dance
be a
around
little crass, right?
But we know exactly what we're talking
She's
about.
She's an artist.
Innuendo is artistry.
At first, you would think this is just like, you know, like hold out, like we are about to meet, and when we meet, you'll be my, you know, missing piece, whatever, like kind of a soulmate song,
emphasis,
right? But then when she's talking about I'm waiting for you too, it's like, wait, shouldn't you be dating a little bit or something?
There should be some movement.
There should be some movement. And that's when you kind of realize like, okay.
I also think a lot of this is unlocked by the music video that she put out with it.
Oh, I've watched the video.
You did?
Oh, yes.
It's just Rebecca St. Old Becky James in the car.
Kind of in the back of a taxi.
Singing to no one in particular.
Is
while there's,
in the back of a
there's
car?
A man in another room kind of going through a jewel box.
Right, like grandma's jewel box.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And finding a letter. That's her saying like, hey, wait for me.
And they meet in a gazebo.
No.
They do meet in the gazebo.
So gorgeous.
From Stars Hollow.
I'm a little scared that box... Okay, so I've
right, which is kind of the Christian worldview, is I'm scared of that box.
Keep it close. There was like, I've talked about this before, but when I went to Christian school freshman year in my Bible class, all we talked about was dating. That was like the whole year.
Oh,
I know.
Excellent education.
Huge. And if you can believe it, my teacher was super pro courtship. Mm. I'll never forget the day she like literally wrote a chart on the board. It was like courtship versus dating, like what's good or bad. And we all were like, I guess courtship. Anyway, so one of the exercises we did was we made an alabaster box, which is, a
sounds
callback.
Like a C.S. Lewis novel. Yeah. Alabaster box.
To, I think, like the Ruth and Boaz story or something like that. Okay. And she leaves him an alabaster box. And it's like kind of sick, like, you know, innuendo. But anyway, in our alabaster box.
Oh, I hate this.
It's so gross. And we Mod Podged collages on this little box. And then in the box, we were supposed to put a few things, like a letter to our future husband. And then I think a list of dating rules we wanted to have.
Okay.
Which I got an A+ on, you guys.
Do you remember any of them?
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up. Of course.
Of course. I think actually I was shocked and embarrassed because even my Bible teacher was like, you don't have to do this one if you don't want to. She's like, why'd you put this down? I just thought I was acing.
Wait,
it.
What were they?
I think it was like, don't be in a car alone together. And she was like, I mean, I think that's fine.
You're creating kind of an
so even the teacher
went,
was, like,
was like, you went too far.
Billy Graham rule in the vehicle is not necessary. Sometimes you got a carpool. We were right. Yeah.
Gotta think practical.
The good news is I broke that rule that year, guys.
Ooh,
so,
nasty.
Yeah, I was a total nerd. Anyway, so that was like the box of like things, you know, that you would like gift your future husband in addition to your virginity. There were so many other things you could give, you know. So I'm wondering if that is like,
it must be
what they're doing in this video. Like, because I doubt my teacher just made this up. Like what I've learned about evangelical Christianity, if there's something that happened at your church, like an adult man doing swing dance with a little boy for entertainment.
Well, this one,
it was being done everywhere. Probably. Like there was unique art going on in
the
church.
Someone commented on that episode that, our church had the same dance routine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So anyway, I imagine this alabaster box thing, like maybe that's part of this music video.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That does make sense. This was also
full of like her jewelry and things like that.
Right. Or maybe it's someone else.
Caroline, there's a gorgeous ballad, a CCM ballad by CC Winans called Alabaster Box.
You're kidding. Yeah?
That was often used as the special music during offerings at church and stuff. A woman would take the stage and sing this like,
this alabaster box is doing a lot of work.
Oh, it's huge. Oh, yeah. The box goes deep.
Stays busy.
The box is big. You know, and unlike the boys who are saying, I don't want it.
Okay.
Rebecca St. James is saying, I want it, but not yet.
Then, yeah. Okay. I'm also just doing a quick Google, and scholars tell us that a young girl would be given this box by her family when she reached marrying age, and she would give it to her husband as a sign of devotion to him.
Boy.
So yeah, there's precedent.
Will you hold my box?
For the old white box.
Well, let me ask you, did you, the churches you grew up, was there like an age limit when you began dating?
No, it wasn't that strict.
In Mormons, it's like a hard 16.
Hard 16. Mm-hmm. So before 16,
you're not allowed to
only
go on
friends.
Dates.
Yeah. And that's universal. That's not like household to household.
Yeah, universal. At least when I was involved. Yeah. Maybe they've changed it since then. But I think you had to basically have a driver's license.
Damn, so that only gives you 3 years, between 16 and 19.
Small window there.
Lock it down.
Yeah. There's something nice about that limit, too, as opposed to meandering into your mid-30s.
Kind of like
aim or direction, sort of kind of, you know, fumbling through the dark and not really getting anywhere in particular.
You could have just instead been stuck in a loveless, immature commitment.
You could have 4 children.
Yeah, children but they would have to love me.
Yeah, you'd have the children at least.
I would at least have the children. emotional support. Mm-hmm. This song was put out also as a tie-in to our old friend Josh Harris's new book. Josh Harris is an author in the evangelical community who came out with a very influential book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye how no one should date. We should do the courtship system instead. And very much a sort of urtext of purity culture stuff, obviously. And they came up with a follow-up book about how to court properly, which means involving the parents, never touching, etc. And that was a book called Boy Meets Girl. which I have a lot of memories of.
Oh, this is so unhealthy. And the song was part of kind of soundtrack.
This was sort of a tie-in to the book. Yes,
I didn't realize
This is the book. Boy Meets Girl. We're looking at the cover.
Boy
was
supposed to kind of just sit in a barn with a box.
Yeah.
And the girl was supposed to be just driven around aimlessly in the back of a cab.
That's right. The book argues that psychological pain and trauma can result from entering an intimate relationship before one is ready, either emotionally or financially, to commit to being the other person's life partner. It was not as popular as the first one, et cetera, et cetera. Boy Meets Girl, : Say Hello to Courtship, which I think is so funny.
Hello.
So, hello, courtship. Hello, college. This one is different from the DC Talk one, too, in that DC Talk, they're not as much songwriters as a lot of other artists. So I don't even know if they fully wrote that song, but Rebecca St. James fully wrote Wait For Me.
Oh, that are you suggesting that they were like sampling or that?
No, they just had songwriters. I mean,
DC Talk.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They had a whole team.
Yeah.
Max and, Martin.
Yeah, they had like the Christian
Martin was on it.
Max. No, I. Oh, it was Max Martin. Oh, but you know what? You know what? I'm looking now. It was written by Kevin Max and Toby Mac. So I was dead wrong.
They
about
did write
that.
It. They I was
did
like, write gonna it. Say, like, seems like
I
about.
Would hope.
I don't know if it's better
level.
Or worse.
If someone was paid to write that, then
yeah.
If it's better or worse. And we talked about this many, many years ago. But Rebecca St. James, she continued in her career. She married Mark Foster from Foster the People.
Oh, they're vaguely Christian?
Yes.
Everything you're saying, the way you're saying it, sounds like you're leading up to her death.
No, she's still with us.
Okay.
She's still with us.
And then she got into skydiving.
No, I'm sorry. She didn't marry Mark Foster. Julia Garner.
Yeah, I was gonna say
married Mark Foster.
And
that's
then
a little
he
too
was
high profile.
Julia Garner?
No, she married the bassist Cubby. Cubby Fink.
Oh boy, Cubby Fink.
Oh, thank God for Cubby.
Thank God for that's what she said on her wedding day.
What age was she when they got married?
Well, she announced the engagement in 2011. She was born in 77.
Wow.
So can someone do the math on that? So not terribly young.
No.
Yeah. I've like, you know, nothing worrying, but it is something. There's clips. I didn't find it for this episode. There's clips where she said, I did have a song called Wait For Me, and we did, you know, and they do claim it.
Cubby wasn't getting down.
Cubby's like, he doesn't.
Cubby's like, yeah. Cubby's been keeping it just for him.
Cubby won't find no chubby. And they have at least three kids now. Yeah.
What was Foster the People's hit?
All the other kids with the pump.
Oh, yes, of course.
Better run
faster than my bullet. Which is, I guess, about school shooting, right?
Don't look at me.
I'm not saying because you're like the school shooting.
Is it really about school shootings?
Yeah, I believe so.
What are we talking about?
Because it was a huge hit.
Fun.
That song. That would have been the last thing I would guess that was. What?
Okay.
It was rumored.
You're spreading a lot of disinformation about this band.
I know. I'm like, I think it's this. And
they're
then
Christian.
Fact checking in real time.
They love school shooters.
No, you know what? It was a rumor that it was about a school shooting, and they said that it wasn't.
All
but,
right,
we issue
a retraction.
We issue a retraction.
Apologies.
The GC.
Mostly to Cubby.
Yeah, we can't do Cubby dirty, Caroline.
Cubby only just started doing the dirty recently.
Yeah, we gotta let him have his little victories when he can.
Oh, and now we just have to wait for Foster the People to write a school shooting anthem.
Yeah, and I feel like they will. Maybe mm-hmm. when they want to come,
it's
like,
time.
Hey, yeah, you thought it was about this time, but it is for real this time. Darling, did you know I dream about you, waiting for the look in your eye.
Normal dream
for the first time.
Normal
yeah.
dream.
Yeah.
Dry, I dry dream about you.
I dry.
You're 1,000 feet away.
Yeah,
trying to figure out if it is you.
Okay, I'm looking now. Rebecca St. James would modify the lyrics in concert to say, I dry dream about you. And she would make a gesture towards herself. Like that.
While wagging a finger in the air.
The start of the song is so juicy, too. She's like, I can't wait until we meet.
Oh, my
you know,
God.
Face
I feel like she's whispering in my ear.
Time. Yeah, it's like, girl,
mm-hmm.
back up.
Quite intimate. I dream about life together. When you say I'll be yours and you'll be mine. So it's a lot of future. And I'm sure it just kind of aligns with most people's idea of love when they're in middle school or high school. Well, maybe not Bridgers. If he had the vocabulary or not, I'm not sure. But you know, the idea of like yearning and longing of like, when you see, I guess when you see it, you read about it in books or see it or hear about it from other people, you're like, that could be me one day. And it feels like such a foreign fantasy that all you can do is these generalities of like, I think about like meeting you and wouldn't that be amazing and blah, blah, blah. But then her kind of punchline to that is like, so wait for me. Wait for me and I'm going to be waiting for you. Which I wonder if there is like a nice idea to that in the sense of I want the real thing. So obviously this is emphasizing abstinence in particular.
Right.
But I wonder if there's a way to read the song where it's like, oh, you know, it's okay to save up all the good stuff for someone else.
Did you read the comments on this video?
No, I sure didn't.
I feel, I mean, the top comment for me was, it rattled me.
Uh-oh.
The comment was, it rattled me?
No, the comment, rattled emotionally for me, I was rattled.
Okay, I'm gonna read this.
Okay, I hope it's the one that I read.
My girlfriend has been practicing singing, yep. Ooh, this might be a little dark, but we'll, if it's too dark, Emma can cut it out. My girlfriend has been practicing singing this song since she was 14 so that she could one day sing it to the love of her life. In November 2021, she decided to sing it to me. She's 29 years old now. It was a moving moment as she finally was able to give this gift to someone after 15 years. While listening to her beautiful voice, I realized the special someone was me. I still feel touched, honored, and blessed when thinking back to this day. This woman changed me and brought me closer to God. I'm deeply in love with her. That's why I decided to thank her for her waiting. She doesn't know that tonight she will read this comment. She doesn't know that I secretly made plans.
Wait, what?
She doesn't know that today was a special day for a reason. She doesn't know that I'm about to permanently end her waiting. Dear Anna, will you marry me?
Huh?
The turns it takes, it's just, what is happening? Also, was the plan, he planned for her to read a YouTube comment? That was the plan?
Well,
wait. What?
You know, you can reply to comments. You
permanently comment end comments. Her waiting is a not great wording.
What? Permanently?
I know.
Permanent's an interesting word.
I'm trying to follow what he's saying, which is that she's saying this to me.
And it, well,
meaning they committed to each other.
Or maybe she's just saying it generally and I heard it and now I want to marry her.
Because I thought. At the beginning of half of the story, and correct me if I'm wrong, that meant like she had already sung it to him on their wedding day, only to find they're not engaged.
No, they're not even engaged.
And he's going to use a YouTube comment to seal the deal. God, what a, this is, yeah, I'm darked out for sure.
She's that been practicing sat for down, 15 years.
With her, like, hey, you know that song you just sang for me?
So there is.
Let's watch the video.
There is a response.
What does the response say?
I said yes. So incredibly thankful and happy now. Still in awe and amazed with the person God led me to so I can spend the rest of my life with him. And then there's a bunch of other comments saying like, so sweet, God bless you both. Aw, I'm crying, tears, congratulations. And I'm going to leave one that says, nice.
Whoa.
Fascinating.
Bridger, great. Ooh. Great journalism.
Wow.
Huh.
Well, do you know the next comment down from that?
No. I mean, I was done reading comments after
that. Yeah, you logged off.
I had to go to sleep.
I need to go take a walk.
Yes. The next comment down is, to my wife, she liked this song, yes. Now my darling graduated and is in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
What? Graduated.
Graduated?
Da, da, someone put da,
a,
da, gave
da, a permanent da, end to her waiting.
Oh,
what? I've never heard graduated as
neither
a.
Neither have I.
What?
Yeah, I've heard like crossed over, yeah. Passed on.
Oh my God.
Especially for your spouse.
Dude.
I think the comment section is exclusively this stuff. Another comment. When I was in my 20s, I didn't date at all.
What there is were, with the story time?
There were guys who were into me, but I turned them down because I didn't feel the connection. I'd also listen to the song to inspire me that even though I questioned if I was being too picky, been there, girl. I held steadfast to my belief and trust God that he would send me someone. At age 29, I met the guy who I truly believe God sent to me. But then he graduated. No, I'm just kidding. We got married 1 year later. Forward 10 years later, I love him with every fiber of my being. He's everything I would ever want in a husband and a father. Thank you, Rebecca, for this song. Thank you, God, for everything else.
To find out this song is The Ring, and we're all going to graduate in 7 days.
Damn. Yeah, ooh. Kevin, don't hit play.
Yeah, I...
This is weird. Like, all this story time going on in the comments, like... Ooh, what's, you know, and the big ending on all of them too.
Well, we've been in Bible study
died
first.
Or got married.
You know, there's always someone who kind of volunteers some vulnerability.
Oh, then there's an outpouring.
And then everyone else is like, well, I guess I could share this now. So maybe this happened here. Good Lord. Yeah. Oh, there's more stories. We can't read them all.
This is crazy.
Yeah, that's
I've
a
never
book
seen that on a YouTube video before. Well, wow. Rebecca, gotta hand it to you.
Yeah,
I mean, DC Talks YouTube videos inspired such tales.
Yeah,
let's go joy and there. Sorrow. Yeah.
Okay. The top comment on the official audio for "I Don't Want It" from DC Talk is
"Eat shit."
Oh my goodness! My mom used to play this song all the time when I was in high school. She played it when my friends were in the car. It didn't work. Laughing emoji.
That's a little more.
See, that's the energy we need to see under Rebecca's video. Yes.
And then there's another comment. Lyrically toxic, cringy, and problematic as hell. This album is still a fucking banger. Which is kind of our attitude.
Oh my God. DC Talk fans are real.
Oh yeah. You're saying you don't want to. I did find a performance of it for a church called Christ Place Church. And they were doing a sex ed series.
Oh.
And there were some performers on stage who did their own cover of it.
Oh. This is a remix.
The three hottest guys at church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's gonna take a little time
for us to see. Yeah. So, you know.
Not the suspenders dangling down and being out of tune. Pick one or the other, my man.
They're playing it live, though. That is so funny.
Are they dressed like the DC Talk guys? Like, that's kind of a Michael Tate outfit.
Style,
that's
right?
Best, right?
Maybe. I mean, that one certainly is. That's certainly Toby
Tate.
Mack.
He's serving. He's
but this
serving
was like
back.
4 months ago.
This was in the 21st century. It was in 2011.
We're watching a live stream.
Yeah.
The comments are, I showed this to my wife. She divorced me.
I showed this to my wife and she said, I'm ready to graduate.
Graduate me now, please. God.
Okay, well, we talked about the categories before, but what do you think of these two would be most effective? There's such yearning of Rebecca St. James's song. It's it's going to be great. And I do feel like positive reinforcement works better generally in most areas of life. The negative reinforcement.
Right.
Very true. Very
give
true.
Give me something instead of just taking something away.
Yeah.
Right.
The idea of delayed gratification as opposed to don't push that button.
Oh, exactly.
Or don't try to find that button and try to push that button. Then you kind of have to ask, where's the button again? And she's like, no, so.
We all learning curve.
A little learning curve.
I feel like also Rebecca is more a, I guess more effective because when I'm watching that video, I'm like, the prize is Rebecca St. James. Like, yeah, I'm going to wait. Okay. If it's the three boys of DC Talk, I'm like, lovely guys, you know, like maybe there's more in life. I don't know. You know, like, let's explore.
Keep looking.
That's such a funny point because there is like an aspirational aspect to like, wait, that kind of girl is waiting? Ugh, I guess I will too.
For sure, right?
And the idea of like these dork ass guys being like, fucking waiting is
not
cool
for me.
It's like, oh, maybe I need to fuck.
Like, I think actually fucking and going through that pain, quote unquote, would be preferable to the prize.
Oh, man.
Michael Tate.
I don't know if it means anything, but the ads I was served on the Becky video, it was for a Christian solution to fungal infections.
Okay.
And
do you remember the product?
It was like one of those things where it's like counting down to a website that, and of course I listened to like all 2 minutes of it. And then it would, then you had to go to the website to find out what the solution was. And I think it was inspired by like,
Like an Old Testament remedy or
yeah,
something.
Like, and then on DC Talk, it was pills for ED. So interesting, different categories.
Or when you do want it.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
How about that?
So now they, you want it and you can't get it.
No, they're viewers, I suppose.
The top comment on that church performance is, feels so good knowing I played a part in making this slice of awesome. Oh. And someone replied to that, yikes. Which is again kind of our podcast.
These YouTube comments. Oh my gosh.
Oh, this is a rich area for
Savage.
Us.
Savage.
I do think Rebecca St. James's is more effective, but is it the better song between these two?
I mean, yes.
Wow.
I'm going to give it to her. She's got a movie being made about her. Just based on the facts, I'm saying the song must be better.
The legacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's married to
Cubby,
one of our most beloved musicians.
One of the more famous bassists.
Yes, we love Cubby.
Yeah. Well, who's a more famous Cubby?
There's simply not
Can't
another
even
Cubby.
Name one. I'm actually going to disagree. I think I Don't Want It is a better song because I think it's just a little stickier. You know, it's good. I remember it.
It is.
It's
incredible point because I simply could not sing a note of Becky's
Wait for
ever.
Me.
Mm-hmm. No. I can just imagine kind of a piano.
Kind of a feeling. And it's like, oh, when you play it, I'm like, oh, yeah. Of course, right. I know this one. I don't want it.
It's right there.
That's been ringing in my head for years. Yes. Yeah, it's good.
Hooks for days.
And that's Max Martin for you. He knows what he's doing.
When Toby Mac, Kevin Max, and Max Mart get in the stew, you know you're going to have a sticky hook. I don't want it. Wait for me. There was an instrumental version that I made that we used as our ad music.
Oh, wow.
A long time.
I mean, it is. It's totally like free use music. Mm-hmm. That's exactly that genre. Yeah. Wow, interesting.
It kind of feels like that. Okay,
Kevin.
So what's that?
What about you? What's your opinion?
I think Wait for Me is the better song. I actually think it's the better song.
Okay.
Because there's less going on in it, but it's more focused. It's simple. This song is the girl next door. No frills.
Does it have someone on a fake walkie-talkie asking about clarification?
Yeah, someone from Star Wars, I think. From like a rogue squad. Yeah, Red Leader, you don't want sex.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know what that means. Wait, there was some like genius annotation about it on genius.com.
Yeah, it's from Star Wars.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Toby Mac is credited as talk radio, indicates he's playing a character separate from his normal self. Throughout the song, McKeon's voice of abstinence comes through. However, he's fighting the flesh. It comes through as a radio transmission. So that's actually meant to represent the flesh.
Oh, like your body.
Wow.
You're starting, you don't want sex. That's like you've been like, oh, I really want to fuck.
Right.
Allowing listeners to distinguish McKeon from his sinful but confused counterpart.
What?
Lest you mistake Toby forever giving in.
You're saying you don't want sex? I'm confused. Could you clarify?
What?
Wow. I know. So there's like, there's
your flesh
less...
sounds like a long haul trucker.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow.
My flesh is a long haul trucker, I think.
You've been through it.
So I vote for Becky, for old Becky in the backseat. is it disrespectful to call her backseat Becky for her absence anthem?
She started it.
Yes.
She is backseat Becky.
She literally, I'm saying,
she's not
music
even driving
video.
The car. She's just like, hey, yeah. Back here, one seat empty next to me.
And again, I think I rely upon the real life testimonies of people who this song meant everything.
Oh, right, of course.
To them. Yeah, the comments alone prove the effectiveness.
Versus the comments of like, I still fucked. Despite my mom trying to not make it so. Mm-hmm. So my vote is Becky.
Yeah.
Wait, what say you?
Wait, what category are we on now?
I think we just have to vote just overall.
Okay, so we're combining the categories.
Overall. Oh, mm-hmm. Crap. Okay.
Because we've evaluated in these like
right.
micro categories.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
What a rich area.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much here. I guess I don't want to be contrarian, so I think I'm going to go with Waiting For You.
Waiting. Okay, and wait, is that the name? Wait, the song's called Waiting For You?
What is it called?
It's called Wait For Me.
Wait For Me.
Not Sticky.
Again, see, this is another part of the problem.
It's a problem.
Not a good song. That song title is
I couldn't
barely
even tell
there.
You. Yeah.
But what does Spotify say? Okay, Free At Last has been the song I Don't Want It has 187,000 streams.
Okay.
Hello.
Wait For Me.
Oh, I bet it's in the millions.
1,152,305.
Wow. All right, the people have voted.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't argue with that.
And that's democracy.
Streams.
So Backseat Becky, are our champion.
I made you a champion.
Good job, babe.
Wow.
Backseat's got a partner now.
I gotta find that clip where she's like, and we waited and it was worth it.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
It was absolutely worth it. She used to go to a church that Caroline and I used to go to.
Wow, really?
In Los Angeles, yeah.
She did?
Mm-hmm. Wow, what
she
a community.
I know. It's a small-knit family at the end of the day. But now, Bridger, we're dimming the lights in here. Oh. We're lighting the candles. And listen, we are lifting things up to the Lord now in prayer and humble, loving sacrifice. You might go on other shows. You might promote stuff and go by the way of man and pride and your sinful flesh by way of Rogue Squadron leader. We don't do that here. We lift things up to the Lord, including our social media handles, where people can find us. And maybe something that we're enjoying in secular culture, like the last great thing you watched, saw, read, listened to, etc. And we'll start with Caroline.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts. This week, I'm lifting up another album from the girls. They're working. And this girl is Kacey Musgraves, Deeper Well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a great album.
There you go.
Oh my gosh, I really enjoyed it. So beautiful. She stopped smoking pot.
Why?
Said she's just done. She's done. Ready to move on.
She needed something to write about.
Mm-hmm.
She said, so, I don't want it.
I don't want it. Puff, puff.
Want your
Pass
pot
me.
For now.
Yeah. So anyway, beautiful album. I really like it. Give it a listen.
Beautiful.
Deeper Well. All right, we turn to Bridger.
Me next? Okay. I guess just follow the Instagram, I Said No Gifts. That's the one thing that I kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me smile every time.
Oh, that's very
I
sweet.
I see you with the bag.
I've held a lot of bags at this point. What is my
so
life?
So good.
The thing I'm going to recommend, I haven't even heard the full album yet. It's out this Friday, but it's from a musician I love. Her name's Rosalie, Rosali.
Okay.
The album, I believe, is called Bite Down. Kind of, I hate even describing music by genre, but folky rock, mm-hmm. kind of in the Neil Young-ish vein. She's just unbelievable. I mean, her voice is incredible. Her songwriting is just where you need it to be.
Wow.
Rosalie.
Bite Down by Rosalie.
Are you looking it up right now?
I sure
okay,
am.
Okay, that's
and you're
the
right,
title, right?
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah. The single
She's
called
so
Bite
good.
Down. All
You're
right.
tough to live in the same era as Rosalia.
Oh, I know. That's a,
oh,
that's
no,
a
you're
you know,
right.
typing into Spotify here.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a toughie. Wow, okay. Rosalie's going on the playlist. On the pray list, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I saw one of the best movies ever made the
what?
Other day for the first time. Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Oh, my
that
heart.
That movie was so cheaty funny.
Good stuff.
And delightful.
There's all these little rabbits in it, and they're just like chilling the whole time because their whole thing is like Wallace and Gromit are trying to not exterminate them, but just like to clear him from the guards and stuff. But they were so funny. And one of them's like pretending to be the guy's toupee and he's waving to the rest of them. I don't know how you like make little guys like that so funny. But I was in awe. I loved it so much. Awesome. That was my little gift that day.
Yes.
So Wallace and Gromit. Although the guy who played Wallace has passed away.
You're kidding.
They're making a new Wallace and Gromit, and it's going to be voiced by someone else.
Wow, I feel like we're playing with fire.
I'm reading out, it's being voiced by Chris Pratt.
Oh, perfect. Okay, I was hoping
he will
be
doing the Mario voice.
Let's go, Gromit. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere, patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun, and leave us a review on the Apple Podcasts. Bridger,
thank you so much.
Thank you for
so much.
Me.
Thank you for waiting for us.
Of course.
Yes, and we will be waiting for you.
Of
anytime.
Course. I can't wait to find that special person.
I know. Fingies
coming
crossed.
Soon.
Oh, yeah. It's taking so
right
long.
Right around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know what Gen Z's doing now, but these YouTube comment sections seem to be a pretty rich meeting ground.
Maybe hang out in there.
Like-minded individuals such as yourself. And there's nothing left to say except for, okay,
I love you, Emma. Amen.
Now watch this drive. And let's go out with the loser boys this time. Let's go out with...
Don't want it.
And the Rogue Squadron. FCX. And we'll see you next week on the podcast. Goodbye.
Bye. That was a HeadGum Podcast.